Today's scripture reading comes from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of the Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Thank you, Matt, and I'm sure glad you had to pronounce those names of those places instead of me. But one thing that emphasizes here is that this event had worldwide consequences. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and here, of course, is the story of the first Pentecost in Jerusalem, but it was not the first Pentecost, because Pentecost had been something that had been celebrated for hundreds and hundreds of years before this event. Pentecost, if you look at your Old Testaments, Pentecost was 50 days after the first Sunday in Passover. Now, why is that a significant day? Well, it was a celebration of first fruits. It's when the first harvest was coming in and God said, "Bring me your first fruits and offer them to me at the beginning of your harvest." And so this was a celebration that happened every year. What's significant about first fruits? First fruits means we don't raise a whole lot of wheat around here, do we, Wayne? Not much. You used to back in Kansas, I know, but not much wheat or barley grown around here. But think of it this way in terms of our fishing harvest. First fruits means for the fishermen, your first catch that you make, you go out, you work the first opening, and all of that first catch, the whole first opening, you dedicate and give to the Lord. And people are saying, "Well, wait a minute. What if there's no more? What if the fish leave?" Well, that's precisely what a first fruits means. You give the first of the harvest, the first of the fish, entirely to the Lord, because you know all of it comes from Him. And you're trusting, by giving the best, the first, to Him, you're trusting that He will make the rest of the harvest go well. He won't have all the fish leave. You're trusting in the Lord to continue to provide for you abundantly. That's what the first fruits was. And so this was a festival that they celebrated every year at this time, where they dedicated the first of their harvest to the Lord, trusting in Him for the rest of it. Now, that's not the way we'd like to do things, is it? When we think about giving our tithes and offerings, we first pay our mortgage and our insurance and all our bills. And then whatever's left over, we give a portion of that back to God. That's exactly contrary to the concept of first fruits. First fruits means you give to Him first, trusting that He will meet your needs later on. And so that's what the Feast of Pentecost was about. But it also had a second meaning. Because if you look back in the Exodus story, and if you trace through the dates, and a little hard for us sometimes to, and I'm glad we have scholars who will calculate these dates for us so we don't have to do it. But the 50th day after Passover was the day that Moses went up to the mountain and received the Ten Commandments and brought the law back down to the people. So it was also a celebration of the giving of the covenant law between God and His people, the establishing of this relationship. So we need to hear this story and listen to this as Luke is writing this in a way that the people back in the first century, the good Jewish people there, would have heard this. The pouring out of God's Spirit here, the Holy Spirit coming down on these people, and then it being spread out is kind of like first fruits. They were the first fruits. They received the Holy Spirit first, and from there, they spread it to others by proclaiming God's Word. And as Matt was reading this passage, you notice that there was a purpose behind them speaking in different tongues or different languages. What was it that they were proclaiming? The wonders and amazement and the mighty acts of God. They were out there proclaiming what God was doing in their own lives. And this was heard worldwide through all these visitors who were coming to Jerusalem for this festival, the celebration of first fruits, the dedication of the first fruits, and the celebration of their covenant relationship through the law with God. And think about what happened with Moses. He went up on the mountain. God descended in the clouds and in the fire. Notice any fire in this story? And the clouds and the fire, great wind, and there was a sound of a great wind here. And then Moses came down from his divine encounter, almost up, like it's up in heaven. He came down to proclaim the law written on tablets of stone with God's people and His relationship with them. And last week we had the ascension of Jesus. As He ascended bodily up into the heavens, fully human, fully God, took His humanity up and reigns at the right hand of God, and He promised, stay there. Stay in Jerusalem and wait until you receive power, the promise of what God is going to give you. Here's the power. Here's the promise that's coming down. And so this we have out of the heavenlies, we have the Holy Spirit descending. And instead of giving the law on tablets of stone, fulfilling the prophecy of Jeremiah, instead they're filling people. The Holy Spirit is filling people and writing the law on their hearts. You see the parallels. Excuse me, I guess there's too much pollen falling down from the heavenlies right now. So what we have in this Feast of Pentecost, when this all comes together, the Jewish people around heard this and understood it in ways greater than we normally see it. The other thing that I want to point out to you, you may remember, it's been a little while back, but when we were preaching in Luke, all the way back in chapter 3, John the Baptist was asked, "Are you the Messiah?" And John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And here we have what appears to be tongues of fire coming down, fulfilling the prophecy of John the Baptist just a few years earlier. What happened here in this event? They were gathered together, not just the 11, but probably the estimates are there were probably 100, 150 people gathered together, praying, worshiping God, waiting for this promise that Jesus said as he ascended. He promised, "I will not leave you alone. I will send the Holy Spirit, the gift of God, to empower you to continue doing my work." Remember how we talked about that last week? It's a continuation of Jesus' teaching, ministry, and his miracles here on earth. While they're gathered together, they hear that what sounds like a mighty wind. And they see something that appears to be tongues of fire, individual flames of fire, coming and resting on them. And it says, and each of them, all of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to. And then as they are praising God and speaking of these mighty acts and wonders of what God has done, other people heard them. And they came in an amazement to say, "What?" And they said, "What does this mean?" They're curious about this event. They see something is going on. How is it possible that we can hear? We know by their accent, we know these guys. They're Galileans. How do they know all these different languages as we're all hearing this? And of course, there's also, like in any event, there's a few skeptics standing on the outside and say, "Ah, they're just drunk at 9 in the morning." But then Peter, he stands up to explain, and he preaches to this crowd, and he says, this is something that God has promised long ago through the prophet Joel. And he starts off and says, in the last days, God promised to pour out his Spirit on all people. And that's what's happened. So Peter stands up and says, it is now the last days that were promised through the prophets. Now some of you who might be a little bit skeptical out here today might be saying, wait a minute, didn't this happen 2,000 years ago? How can Peter have said these are the last days? That happened a long time ago. Anybody else have that problem? What, just me? Well, we have to understand what is meant by the term the last days in the prophets. The prophets are talking about, when they talk about the last days, they're talking about the last days of their current age. They know that because of the sinfulness of humanity, God has promised he's going to make all things new. The present sinful age is going to come to an end, and in the last days, God's going to create a new creation. And Peter says, it's happening now. This is what you were experiencing. God is pouring out his Holy Spirit, and he's pointed out, and notice how Peter emphasizes, it's poured out on sons and daughters, on men and women, even on the servants, male and female. It will be poured out universally on all who call on the name of the Lord. It's not just reserved for a few. And notice that this has happened on some Galilean fishermen and others. It doesn't happen to the chief priests, the temple officials. Doesn't happen to the governor. It happens to the ordinary people. God has chosen who he is going to pour his spirit out on. And it happens universally to men, women, slaves, free, young and old. And Peter says, this is a sign that the end of the age, the last days, is happening. God is working his miracle of new creation right before your eyes. So, are we still in the last days? The answer is yes. Does God still work in mighty ways by his pouring out his spirit on individuals? Yes, he does. Do we sometimes wish, well, let's see the flame come down right now, okay? Let's see it fill somebody. We attended, many of you know this, but I'm going to repeat it again. We attended a church in Washington when I was going to seminary, and someone thought they had fans like this in the sanctuary, and they thought on Pentecost Sunday it'd be great at a certain point in the sermon to turn the fans on, and they put red confetti up on top of the fan blade so that the red confetti had come flying down, you know, right at the appropriate time in the sermon. So so as the preacher was preaching, someone sitting right where Dave is now went over and flipped on, no, I guess it would have to be over here, flipped on the fans, and this red confetti came down, and it had an effect, but not really what people wanted. I mean, the confetti was all over everybody. It was in your hair, in your clothes. It took months and months and months to get it out of the carpet and out of all the chairs. This was, what, 15 years ago? Is that about something like that? They probably still have confetti there. Okay? Well, God doesn't work through confetti. Well, let me rephrase that. God can work any way he wants to, right? Amen? All right. But not usually confetti coming down from the fans. But the miracle still happens as God's Spirit fills somebody. Have you experienced the joy of a miraculous change in your life? If you know Jesus, you may have experienced that change that he brings about. Sometimes it happens in a major way for people, and we've probably all watched that in people, haven't we? How someone who I think is beyond hope, and all of a sudden Jesus gets a hold of them and changes their life forever. And we've seen that, haven't we? For others of us, it's a more gradual change. But there is a miraculous change that God brings about today in people's lives as they accept the Lord. It's also very meaningful to me that it's Peter who gets up there and preaches. Remember Peter? How many times did he deny Christ on the night that he was arrested? Three times. He betrayed Jesus, turned his back on him, after said, I'll even die for you. And he betrayed him, and he denied him three times. And then there's that scene while he's standing there warming himself by that fire when Jesus looked at him. Remember that? Do you think Peter ever forgot that look? And then, after his resurrection on a beach with a campfire, and some fish roasting, Jesus restored Peter, didn't he? How many times? Three. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Take care of my lambs. Do you love me? You know all things, Lord. Then take care of my sheep. So Peter, no matter what he has done, God never gave up on him and transformed him from someone who would deny the Lord himself to somebody who stands up and says, it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of him that this is happening, and it's a miracle that's happening, and it's a sign that the new age has dawned. This is it. Nothing will ever be the same. He goes on, and he talks about that great and glorious day of the Lord. He's quoting Joel, of course. But the great and glorious day of the Lord in the Old Testament is the great and glorious day of Yahweh. And they translate it to Lord because they were afraid to use the name Yahweh because that might be taking his name in vain. So they changed it anytime they spoke it. And so they picked this up in the Greek Bibles from which Luke and others are using and changed it to the word Lord. And then they apply that same word, Lord, to Jesus, our risen Lord. There's an equation there between the great and glorious day of Yahweh is the great and glorious day of Jesus when he comes back. That's what Peter's saying. And everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. That's what he proclaims. Someone who we would think Jesus should have given up on him after he denies him three times, instead he forgives him, he restores him, and uses him in a powerful way to reach thousands of people. Can God do that kind of a transformation in your life? Yes. Have you been filled with his Spirit? Do you feel like you're on fire for him now? Whenever you, if you haven't accepted Christ into your life, he can perform this miracle right now, today. All you have to do is accept him and agree to follow him. If you did that a long time ago in your life, you can renew that right now. And ask him to come into your life again now and rejuvenate you. Give you a new spark. You see, Jesus said in John, anyone, male or female, slave or free, young or old, can have the gift of the Holy Spirit if they only will ask. Have you asked him into your life? If you have, when was the last time? Today would be a good day to renew that invitation. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Let my heart burn with your love and help me to spread your love to everyone else. Amen.